So anyway, I guess no Andrew so far. So we all get on with the beginning stories of Karen and Simone, since we didn't do those last week, and have our little discussions. So of you two, which one would like
Karen
to go first?
Simone read theirs.
What's that?
Shall I read mine?
Sure.
Karen, are you okay?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. Here I am, coming a long way through the universe, coalescing all data and information, and particularizing this data information that serves the individual that I am today. My name is Yuris, and I express myself through inspiring, offering, giving, teaching other individuals that helps them see their own abilities and talents, and I like bring that out, so they maybe understand their lives and themselves in a broader context. Teaching means not only at a school with pupils, I understand it also as introducing these individuals to new ideas of thinking in talks, discussions, during massages, of how the universe works and how we can apply this knowledge in our own life. Maybe like a grandmother that gives her experience and understandings gained during her life to her grandkids. I really like this image of myself. This inspirational way of life for others is fulfilling me and gives my life meaning, no matter if the individuals apply some of my offerings. It happens that I forget inspiring myself about my talents and understandings, or that I do it against something, someone else, or that I fear presumed consequences of my desires, which actually is not necessary. With clients, friends, and everybody else, I go on inspiring them and bring out their desires and talents, and in that I also inspire myself and life and live more and more my desires. This is an opening way for living as I truly desire. End of actual story.
So anybody have any comments on that? Questions?
Yeah, I think Simone covered the circle. That's the image that comes together for me, is that she's created points on a circle that have her at the center of it, and seems to have covered most points on the circle.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Simone.
Oh, welcome.
The thing that I see with this story is that you're confusing a beginning story with your life story. A beginning story is a story that works in every lifetime, in whatever way you're expressing it. It's an ongoing thing, whereas you're talking about the particulars of this particular life with teaching and massage and all that. So, really, your beginning story basically ends after the second paragraph.
Second paragraph. In a broader context. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, you're describing how you're doing it in this lifetime.
Yes.
Okay. Just so you know that Mm-hmm. All of this isn't the beginning story. This is the beginning story and then an adjunct onto that.
Mm-hmm. And what I wrote, sure, I do several things in this lifetime, I wrote, but can that also be over many lifetimes?
It can, but some of the particulars are certainly talking about you in this lifetime. But yes, they could. I just want you to get even a clearer image of exactly the beginning story without getting... Yes, we're talking about from today looking at the beginning story, but we're not talking about today in context to how I'm living that beginning story. And what you're talking about is how I'm living that beginning story.
Okay. So... should I write it more... in, how do I say that? More general, or...?
It's fine. You don't have to rewrite it. I just want you to think about it in clear, succinct ways that you're able to say that in any lifetime, this beginning story is still the same beginning story.
Okay.
And then in every lifetime, you express that beginning story in unique and different ways, but it's still the beginning story.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but that's the way I see it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So does anybody else have anything else to add to that or to comment or anything?
No. Yeah, only that the guidance was mostly from, 15, 16, 17, and depending on how much you read and how much you focused on, like 17, it was a good template about what it was like at the beginning, but 15, 16...
What do you mean by 17?
The passage.
Or in Chronicle K.
Ah,
okay. 15, 16, or, 14, 15, 16, and 17 speak about the origin.
Yeah.
And
Well, 14 and 15, 15 is where, after 15 is where you write your story. So... 16 and 17 don't have anything to do with it when you're writing that story at that time.
But I took it as number 16, or did you start with today at this moment? If you are data information mind, what is data information mind continued? And I took that to mean is that... How has that continued from that origin place?
Okay.
So anyway, I say if there's this, given that the instructions were take only 10 minutes and do it, go no flowery or vague language, just get right to the point. It is perhaps not helpful to go through all these successive passages. That it raises too many things. But anyway, that was the thought, that it was...
I'm not saying that what she did is incorrect. All I'm saying is that relative to what was said, it's a little carried on into this lifetime. But it does help her solidify in this lifetime how she is living that beginning story. And there's nothing wrong with that. Did I lose everybody?
So, no, that, but there is a general question for me coming up. The beginning story is somehow a description of the eternal self. Do I understand that correct?
Yes and no, because it's almost before eternal self, because the eternal self we're creating right now.
That's exactly the question. That was in my mind when I wrote it. I am the eternal self right now, also as a loner body. And yeah. I think I didn't think before that.
Yeah, yeah. And what he was talking about, I believe, at that point was, what were you when you were that data information mind before you came into a body?
Uh-huh, okay. Yeah, and that's the, in my story, that's the first two paragraphs. Yeah. Would that be enough then, or? Is it too short, or...?
No. For this particular exercise, it's just fine. It was Patrick that added on to it, you know, we should write it from the perspective of today at this moment. Or something like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Good.
So you've combined both, which works fine, but I just was pointing that out.
Oh. Thank you.
Okay, Karen, you ready to get with Live It?
Yep. All right, you ready?
We're ready.
I am Live It, and I live in Nauru. Here, we know that life is one continuing flow of making anew. Any action we do is an act of creation. Every step creates more land, every word creates more objects, perhaps trees or stones or buildings or stars. Every thought, every breath, every doing creates something. A breeze, a smell, a sound, an idea. We all know this to be the way things work. We call this singing your life. It is very much creating a symphony of intersecting and interwinding melodies, tones, and rhythms, and is revealed in our world around us. We know our songs by observing our surroundings. Everyone has their own way of expressing in this reality. I love to coach others on seeing the nuances of singing their creations. I help everyone, animals, insects, people big and small, experiment with and investigate the way they create more Nauru. Together we explore the unknown next moment.
Okay. Does anybody have anything to say about that, or question, or add to?
I like the way she said it. It just gave me a good visual.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, anybody? Now, did we do your beginning story last week, Sharon?
Yeah.
Okay. Because these are the only two I received, as far as I know.
Karen?
You didn't get mine?
No, I did not.
I sent it to you.
Okay, I'll have to go look, see if it landed somewhere it wasn't supposed to land.
Yeah, well, did anybody get mine?
Yeah, I got yours.
Okay. But yours I sent separately. See, I sent the others together. I sent yours, but it bounced back because it said the email address was wrong, and that's why I emailed Misty and got it.
Uh-huh.
And sent yours separately. So if there was a mess up with it going out, that first time it could have.
Okay. Well, I will look for it later.
Patrick, did you get it?
So it didn't arrive in my email box, but it arrived in Karen's.
Oh, okay. It should have come to yours also.
Okay.
So I am wondering about, especially for Pat and Karen, you did a rewrite of your story we did in the Superman gathering.
That is correct.
How strong did you modify it?
The main effort was taking it from describing past tense to turning it into present tense.
Yeah.
Instead of it being historic, it's like I don't think mine at all was past. It was I rewrote it to make it present. And so it and it, as Misty has said, that missed at least part of the intent here. But I work from the point of view is that the those passages even mention Knox time, and I held the view that the Knox time is from origins, beginning to now. That's one Knox, and there is no past, present, future. A singular arrow of time. It's always present. So that was my point of view.
I really shortened mine. My original was like a page and a half.
I remember it bigger. Yeah.
Pared it way down. Yeah.
Okay.
Same idea, though.
Yeah. I just thought I was focusing on the present time. Maybe that's why I linked it also to my present life right now. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we have nothing more to say on the beginning stories, now that's an opening, so if anybody has anything to say, now's the time.
That's right.
Or we will get on reading, and we can take a volunteer and then go alphabetically from there, or we can start with Karen, who would be the first alphabetically here tonight.
Let's do that.
Sure. Tell me where to start.
43.
Is that what are you doing that works against your being living?
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, 43. What are you doing that works against your being and living as you truly desire? Do you believe in God? Or an infinite power or force in the universe? Do you believe in oneness, in right and wrong? What are your fundamental and ultimate concerns? How will you resolve them? Are you evolving? Do you have an eternal soul that is the essence and future of you? Can your pains and illnesses be healed? Can you cause or withhold what you desire? Is life too short? Are you learning, growing, developing ways to create what you want? Or to manifest what you desire in life? Life?
I got it, yep.
Are you limited by your body and by the laws and truths of the universe? Can you know a truth and live that truth? Can you know the truth of yourself and live that truth? Or is it possible that all of these matters individually work against your being and living the self and life you truly desire?
Does anybody want to look at some of these questions and discuss them? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. We could go on with...
I'm still going through.
We could go on for days answering some of these.
Oh, it can. Yeah, it's very, very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in God. He's suggesting that if you believe in God, you're limiting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or an infinite power or force in the universe. In right or wrong, or belief in oneness.
Yeah. What I find interesting is a lot of times people say they don't believe in God, but they call it something else and then say that they don't, that it's not God. Like, I know someone that calls it the source. You know, you go back to source. Well, what is source? Would that not also be another name for God?
It could.
To me, yes. Yeah.
And some people say universe is love.
Yeah, that one always kind
of,
you just kind of sit there going, okay. I don't really know what that means because nobody can really define love, so what does that mean? That's always the hard one for me. And we've all...
All those things. It's pretty common to say that being able to resolve fundamental and ultimate concerns.
Mm-hmm.
From my point of view, you cannot have fundamental and ultimate concerns without there being right or wrong, without there being God or some kind of infinite power. If your fundamental and ultimate concerns are always seems to be relative to something outside yourself.
I agree.
And then how do you resolve them? Well, sure, you're going to make them, I'll beat the other guy up enough and then he'll stop bugging me and I won't have those concerns anymore.
Or you create a religion.
Yeah. And evolving. Evolving is a force outside myself.
Right.
And if you have an eternal soul that is the essence of future of me, I'm just along for the ride, correct?
Absolutely.
And I'd sure like pains and illnesses to be healed, though.
Yeah, wouldn't
and
we
I
all?
I fall on that one almost all the time. But I can see that.
But the thing is that you can't heal them, but you can do other, and in that, they resolve.
Right.
Can you cause or withhold what you desire? Oh, that one is getting so clear to me now that whenever I hear people say, well, you know what you got to do? You got to get out there and cause what you want. And I almost want to stand up and put my hand up and say, stop, don't even say that. It's getting so increasingly clear that as soon as the word cause comes up, I have to translate and say, okay, in forever living, I'll be comfortable saying I can be the causer or the reason why, and stuff like that, but I can't go out there and cause on my own.
And the interesting thing is there's so many different names for it, you know, like I'm going to make it happen, you know, and stuff like that. They think that they're not talking cause, but they are.
Yeah, I agree with you. I won't use that word then. Okay.
This was not a criticism. Always reminds me of the next generation, Star Trek The Next Generation, when he always says to Number One, make it so.
Is that a saying in your
That's a saying in that show, Star Trek: The Next Generation. He would always talk to the first person underneath the captain and say to him, you know, da 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 da. Now make it so.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And so then we have, is life too short? I don't know. Is life too long?
I don't know yet.
Yeah. If you speak of one lifetime only, then life might be too short.
Or
you could say that it's not time that is relative.
Yeah, and that whole concept of not can be an infinity, depending on how I want to look at my existence.
I always find it interesting when I start thinking about the length of life and stuff like that, because a lot of times I'll sit there going, well, really, all I have is all these memories and memory, and do I really have that? Or it gets into all sorts of things where you start going, is life any length of time at all? Or is it just now, with all these memories that you base it on? You take those memories away and you have no life.
Well, that's true. Certainly decreased quality.
And that's what happens with some of the dementias.
And the next one, are you learning, growing, developing ways to create what you want? That's just a nice long stretch of words that are standing for causing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Or to manifest what you desire in life.
I'll be happy when.
Yep.
It's preparing rather than living.
Are you limited by your body? Or do you limit your body?
I think the second. Yeah. I mean, gravity does something, but...
gravity
doesn't talk about that.
Yeah, it's hard.
You're starting to get the sags going, are you?
It's easy in a dream, but... yeah.
Actually, gravity enables me to move around on the planet.
Yeah, otherwise we'd be flying off all over the place.
Yeah.
And all those things about truth.
And limited by the laws and truths of the universe, that's just another way of talking about an overarching power called God.
Mm-hmm.
And live by that truth, yes, exactly. Oh.
Well, if you make it true, and then live it, that you've done that. And can you know the truth of yourself and live that? It's all that thing that the truth must always and always be true, and you only know that if you're actually living. You can't figure out the truth in advance and then go live it. You only know truth as you live it. And all these suggest that it's a two-step affair. And you know it and then live it.
Yep. And then he ultimately comes down and says, do these work against your being and living the self and life you truly desire?
Yeah.
And you have to say...
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Anybody have anything else to say on that one?
I see big variations, how we can delude ourselves, not living by our own authority or living as we truly desire.
Absolutely.
In rewording, let's say God. Yeah.
Okay then, moving on to 44. The events, people, and conditions in your life do not reveal the self and life you are living. Frequently discontenting yourself about, however, your discontent about these things certainly does reveal the self and life you are personalizing and living. And no one is actually speaking to you or guiding you through these matters. For this is your life, for you to particularize and personalize and live as you truly desire. That's the universe's promise to you. So basically it says it all comes back to you. No one else, nothing else, it comes back to you.
And it's not the event. It's how you feel about the events.
Which is coming back to you.
Yes, exactly. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
45?
Yeah.
45.
Oh. What occurs to you is not you. And what discontents you is not you either. From this, it is possible for you to know what is authentic and not authentic for you. And since this has nothing to do with right, wrong, or good, evil, will this awareness help you end your love affair with memories, with judgments and conflicts, and with emotions and actions that discontent you? I need some discussion on this.
Okay. In what way?
And it's the part here, from this, it is possible for you to know what is authentic and not authentic for you. I'm not sure what he's referring to is from this.
I think that what he's referring to is that what discontents you is not you either, and also what occurs to you is not you. So from this, from the discontents and what occurs to you, is it possible for you to know what is authentic and what is not authentic for you? Basically, it comes down to, if it discontents you, it's telling you something. How you feel about something that occurs to you is telling you something, and from that you know what for you is authentic in your life.
And you know, and we would know that if I've had a tendency to think about what's occurring to me is me, then I can tell that it's not authentic.
Yes. If it's anything other than you believe that this is you creating the universe and living as you desire, anything other than that is not authentic.
And then this awareness will help me end my love affair with memories, i.e.s.
Yes.
With judgments, conflicts, and emotions and actions that discontent me. So all those things that I've taken as measures, is it right or wrong, is it good, is it bad, and it's memories that'll automatically get tangled up with the judgments and conflicts and stuff. Yep, okay. It all makes sense to me now.
Yep. But don't you wish that it were so easy to hang on to that awareness?
Yeah.
I think we all are so used to other than that that we lose it frequently. And then you have to pull yourself back around to that awareness again. And I am noticing as I am moving further along in this journey with this understanding that I'm able to pull myself around to it much faster than I was previously. So
noticing that as well. It's not taking as long to realize that I fell off the horse.
Yep.
That happens to me too. Yep.
It's when we can get to the point where we can stop it before it even crystallizes into a thought.
Yeah.
Before we respond, before we judge, before we condemn. That would be nice. I'm still oftentimes having the thought come into my mind and then stopping it. I'd rather get to the point where it's not even coming into my mind.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's almost always that I construct something in my head that I think I'm at risk in some way or another, and I'm going to react to that. And that's the right, wrong judgment, conflicts, and all that come around to because I think I'm threatened in some way. Now, if I hold on to number one, my origin. And number two, who I really am. I think I reach the point where I absolutely realize that I can. It's impossible to be under threat.
And yet we still often feel under threat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The boogeyman jumps out of the closet.
Yeah.
Yep, I can think of all kinds of things, including relationships. That, you know, part of what we were been advised over the years that the relationship that I have to hold on to and protect isn't worth having. That's a class A, triple A way of feeling a threat. Is saying that I'll do anything to hold on to a relationship because I feel so threatened.
Yep, absolutely. And it's not just with people, it's with relationships with things, relationships with any kind of thing outside of yourself.
Yeah, like who's the president? They say, who's the president, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the prime minister. Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, sometimes it's to me, it's a threat because I, being as I am, I mean, because other people are different.
Yep, that's happening.
They challenge because, I'm not following the general, how do I say that? The general way of how life should be. Yeah. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's one term is politically correct, another term is that you should understand what's good and bad.
Yeah, and you should follow these, as we say now, these causing rules to be a good person for the society. And, yeah. I think it's not always easy to go my way. Yeah.
It's when you are indifferent to what is going on around you and fully expressing you that you really live as you truly desire.
I agree
to that.
Missy, I like that term indifferent, when you're truly indifferent to what's going on around.
But I do believe that when that occurs, everything changes. And there's times when I can
be
that way.
When you don't feel the indifference of you anymore?
When you are indifferent, it means that nothing outside of you is affecting you.
Yes. Yeah. I understood you. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Sharon, will you read us the next one?
Yes. Do you remember when you existed as a concept and were united with all things? Was that satisfying and fulfilling for you? And do you really want to return to that again? Did you actually feel safe and secure? And even if you did, is that feeling worth giving up your awareness in life and realized identity for?
Interesting.
Well, I really don't see how you can be fulfilled as a concept.
I know. I like this awareness in life.
Well, it's a concept is not terribly particular, and that's, I think, what we're talking about here. Even if you did, is that worth giving up? My particular that I have created and my awareness of that. Yeah, I wouldn't want to back into simply being a concept.
Nope, it has no appeal for me whatsoever.
No. I like that I can particularize myself more and more precisely. Yeah.
Okay, Simone.
I think I'm the person in the soup, and I'm disintegrating.
You're the person.
Person in the soup.
Person in the soup.
Yeah, I'm the person in the soup with everybody else. And no longer the soup lasts, the more we disintegrate. I don't know. We particularize and then we particularize. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you are something but nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shall I go on?
Yeah.
47. Don't let anyone mislead you about unity. For unity means oneness. And there are no things in oneness to be aware of, not even you. And in unity, you will slip away into eternity, into consciousness, into infinity, or even into an endless now. Don't you remember? Is that the self and life and promised bliss you truly desire?
That's not for me.
No, that's a good description from Numbers 46.
Getting back to the notion of being a threat and discontent, I can see And I hear it quite often that the escape from that threat and discontent is the notion I'll become one with all and there won't be any more conflict. Well, that may be true, but there won't be any more you either.
It sounds so boring. So... so undesirable.
You eliminate conflict, but you eliminate yourself at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
48?
Yep.
To live as you truly desire, maintain yourself, your identity, your realization of you, and expand the access you have to all things.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty succinct.
Yeah.
It is. It's a summary of...
Okay. Passage 49. Moving your attention and focusing your mind does not create a new realm or dimension, your own reality, or new levels of consciousness. However, is it possible for you to realize that in this, you are opening a new pathway of access, or wormhole through time and space to all things you truly desire.
What means wormhole?
It's like the speed, the zoom through the time dimension. It's a way of traveling through time, correct?
It's a way of the universe actually folding itself upon itself and making fast access from one point to another without having journeyed through all of the distance between. I believe that's more closely what a wormhole is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So completely not in the sense of the hole from a worm.
No.
Correct.
Yeah, nothing to do with a worm. But the way you move through something in very short time versus what would otherwise appear to be a really long distance.
Mm-hmm.
You got a better
one
for that, Patrick?
Yep. Yeah, a wormhole is just a simile. And so that's an important distinction here about this. The focus of the mind and the attention isn't about creating something new. It is creating access to a new pathway to all things that I truly desire. That's the next part.
Mm-hmm.
So, do I understand it correct that the wormhole is like shortening of time, not realizing time, or
in the real sense of what a wormhole is? Yes, but in the sense of what he's using it to express here, it means like just a real direct route to something.
Mm-hmm.
That is independent of time and space.
Right.
That's, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Is, how do I say that? I say it like this, is thinking in mind speed a wormhole? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I cannot think in mind speed. I don't know how I think in mind speed, but I know that mind speed is quicker than mouth speed.
Way, way quicker. And there's much more direct access to mind.
Exactly.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Now we're on 50, I believe.
Yeah.
Must you learn?
Must you?
Yeah, it's your turn, isn't it? Okay, you go. I read that one.
Must you learn, grow, and develop, and transcend to either higher or deeper levels of awareness in order to be and live as you truly desire? Or actually, don't you constantly create struggle and disappointment in these ways and become dissatisfied with who you are or believe you are? And in this, don't you fill your body and life with a poison of discontent and make it impossible to live as you truly desire? Yep, learn, grow, and develop is a whole bunch of causing that's got to take place, and then I got to get better or less. Yeah, it's all mm-hmm. judgment and cause and effect.
Yep. Okay, Sharon.
Misty.
Yes, ma'am.
In my book, it's on the third line.
Yeah, I have it.
In the word struggle.
Yep.
Eight. Okay.
Got it.
Good.
Okay. Are you willing to imaginatively mind who you naturally are and live self-evidently, and in that open newer avenues of access to all you desire without causing, transcending, discontenting yourself?
Yeah, great big yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nicely, compactly said.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, 52.
Mm-hmm.
Must you create false levels of life and spirituality? False dimensions of mind and matters, and of consciousness and awareness, false emotions and understandings, or of words and ways to discontent about? Do you really believe this universe is that cruel and deceptive, or is it just your languaging? Probably it's just the causal language.
I think you got that. Yep.
But I do the other things too. Yeah.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
We would hope that we would do other, but we don't. A lot of times we do not. But at least we know the difference now.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the reasons I'm participating is that in all of this is that it keeps the constant reminder of who I really am.
Absolutely. Okay, Karen, coming back around to you.
Alrighty. 53, right?
Correct.
The universe offers you life and access to all you truly desire. The universe never withholds from you or creates conditions
or
limitations for you to learn from, endure, or struggle against. Nor are the universe's offerings open to privileged individuals or to an awareful or faithful one.
Faithful you.
The universe's offerings are available to everyone at all times, in every event and situation. The universe faithfully supports you and the authority of man and asks nothing of you or in return.
I think the or should come out of there.
That.
Take that or out, yeah.
Nor the universe's, there must be apostrophe in there, offerings, nor are the universe's offerings only open to privileged individuals. I would think there should be an only in that.
Where are the universes open? Open only. Yeah. Okay.
Offerings only?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That seems pretty straightforward. Anybody have anything to say on that one? Okay. Passage 54. If you live yourself in life on many different levels, but always in the present, focused on experiencing and reacting to each moment and causing and manifesting what you want in your life, even if you gain or attain to what you hope for, your life will have no real meaning or understanding for you. You will have denied yourself access to the past and everything you truly desire, which is the nature of the environment all around you and the true nature of yourself. Did we have somebody new?
I'm rereading it.
New ding in? Or did we lose somebody?
Roll call.
I'm here. Did percent go up?
No, somebody dinged in and doesn't want to tell us who it is. Okay. Okay, so.
So this is saying that if I'm focused, if I'm. Thinking I gotta move myself on a different level.
You're cutting out. Couldn't hear what she said.
Okay, I got the phone closer.
Thank you.
So if I'm going to indulge in a belief that life is, operates on different levels, and but I've always got to be present, focused on the experiencing and reacting each moment, all those things, that are, that's all causal stuff. Even if, he's saying, even if I seems to be that I got what I hope for, I'll have no real meaning or understanding. And the, I think the operative thing here, but you will have denied yourself access to the past and everything you truly desire. Of course.
There's a lot of people that, that have attained to certain levels of success in life, and people think that they have it all, but they really don't. Howard Hughes comes to mind.
But it's also here, we only know ourselves from the past, and if I'm focused on always being present, I forsake the past.
You do.
I remember that time where Roger had the tiny little figurine that he put on the edge of a notebook with, grasping the edge of the notebook, and the back of the little figurine was pointed towards the future. And I just got that image about how we're rushing into the future focused on the past. And that's what we have. We don't know the future. The present doesn't exist essentially. We only know it after it happened. Yeah, if we rob ourselves of the past, we don't have much meaning or any meaning in life.
Without a past, you have nothing to stand on.
No, that's right. Absent past, you're. I gotta clip that one out and take it to our meeting tomorrow night.
Okay, you do that. Let's see, whose turn is it now?
Did you just read that one, Missy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did.
So mine's number 55. all of your life, all of your life, you have been taught that as an embodied spiritual being, you are limited and restricted by your body and must escape the grip, not the gripe, the grip of your body and physical matter.
A lot of people gripe about
yourself.
It.
Yeah. And free yourself to spirit and to God. We must interrupt here to tell you that your soul is not a spiritual essence of you, nor is it an everlasting, non-material aspect of yourself that is living out its karma or divine purpose. Your soul is your physical body, your eternal being, and it is and is the true
Akashic
record of your self in life. Hopefully, you are beginning to see that material matter as a carrier of data information, which the universe makes available to you through entanglement, actually expands and extends yourself and awareness, and enables you to bypass memory, recompose yourself however and wherever you desire, whenever you desire, even in every moment. And though your outward appearance may remain much the same, the composing constituents can change dramatically. Wow.
Yeah, that's quite a mouthful.
It is.
It's very nice that the body is the material that carries data and information. No. And make entanglement possible or available.
Anybody else have anything to say on that?
To say that's the huge promise of our existence.
You are off in the Netherlands.
Oh, sorry. I keep on drifting away. That passage represents a huge promise of our existence.
The huge what?
Promise.
Promise.
Ah, promise. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. 56, Sharon?
Yeah. from that expansive, eternal awareness, communioned with your personal self, an eternal self was emergent, which when communioned with the body you had personalized to serve, or eternal being was
and eternal.
Emergent.
And
eternal being was emergent. Actually, in this, your personal body, which offered access to amazing and godlike awareness through the DNA code of your body, became both your personal body and your eternal being. And through this, you realize that all embodiment in any form, in fact, all the physical world, from the greatest to the least, is a carrier of its own data information, and all previously entangled data information as well, and makes that accessible to all who seek. But unfortunately, the spiritual teachings in your life and those times completely dismissed this awareness. And it would have been lost from you except that you were not blinded or confused by these spiritual teachings that an ever that an eternal life is reserved by only for faithful beings?
Let's see, is reserved only for faithful beings. Take out the by.
Okay. Reserved only for faithful beings. In a spiritual afterlife, you could see right through these distortions. And this enables you to live your embodied life as an awarefully and intimately communion personal being, eternal being. And emergent from that, you were a resplendent, illuminated being. And you were finally shining as bright as a star. But you don't see this today, do you? You don't even feel it or sense it. Isn't that right? It seems we have a lot of work to do.
Huh?
Yep, yep.
Where was Andrew when we needed him? He's always talking about he needed the schematic of how these things come together.
Well, maybe we should start with this next time. Because I see this is really clear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we've come back around to you, Karen.
Oh.
Is it Simone?
Oh, Simone. I'm sorry.
Oh, next.
Oh.
I forgot Simone. How could I do that? I'm sorry.
57. Throughout each step, from an unknown, unknowable concept to a resplendent, illuminated being, shining as brightly as a star, your personal actions and emergent effects communioned with entangled awarenesses established the ever-expansive and extensive form and quality of new constituents. Oh. And now you know that by reaching far beyond yourself through entanglements, you can, by declaring and convoking or calling yourself together, include astonishing qualities and constituents you've never experienced or dreamed of before.
Sounds like a good idea.
Convoking.
It's calling yourself together. That's what convoking
is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody have anything to talk about on that one?
A little bit. Let's see, there's a community with entangled awarenesses established the ever expansive and extensive form and qualities of new constituents.
I can hardly hear you.
Oh, my darn phone. I put it down and I leaned back. Sorry about that. Okay. Communion with entangled awarenesses established the ever-expansive and extensive form and qualities of new constituents. Now you know that by reaching far beyond yourself through entanglements, you can by declaring and so on and so forth. My question is around reaching. Maybe here it's a figure of speech, because I can remember talking about calling forth rather than reaching out.
Well, I think it's really...
I guess it says to here a little bit further, calling yourself together.
I think it's
so. I think I resolved my question because
yeah, expanding yourself out
beyond.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. And I've always had this notion that it's all there, I just have to call it in. Okay. I've answered my question. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Sharon? Where were we?
Okay. Okay, now it's 58.
Okay.
Is it not? We use water to illustrate emergence because of its particular property to always seek its own level, which indicates that whatever is emergent, though that cannot be found in any constituent, you can be certain you are that emergence, or the level of your original concept as an image or condition of God. Hmm.
What's the hmm?
Always seeks its own level. What does that mean?
Just like water. So we used water to illustrate emergence because of its particular property to always seek its own level, which indicates that whatever is emergent, though it cannot be found in any constituent, you can always be certain you are that emergent. So it's the level of your original concept as an image or condition of God. So it's you seeking your own level relative to your constituents, whether relative to what you live into your life.
I don't understand what seeking its own level means.
Water, when you pour it into something, doesn't stand up in some places and not in others. It's the flowability, and therefore, when you pour water into something, it seeks its own level relative to how much you put in, the constituents that you put in.
Okay.
So you seek your own level relative to the constituents that you put into your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything's about flowability too.
Yeah, he switched back and forth between water always seeks its own level, and then he talks about you, which indicates that whatever is emergent,
you were water.
That you were emergent.
You are like water, is what he's trying to say. You seek your own level as a concept. In other words, you are what you think you are, what you've put into it. All of it together creates a certain level of understanding and consciousness or image of God. Your godness. Condition of godness. Anybody have anything else they could help clarify this with? Because obviously I'm not doing a good job of it.
Yeah, I have... And it's the last clause, or the level of your original concept as an image or condition of God. I would have thought my original concept was a constituent. And that doesn't seem to be how it's used in this context here. I can see that whatever has been... It says that whatever the constituents in my life, I can be certain that I am what has been, what is emergent. But I don't understand the...
But your original concept was an emergent. It wasn't a constituent.
You broke up a bit on that one. Can you say that again?
I said your original concept was an emergent, not a constituent. Your condition of godness was an emergent, not a constituent.
Ah, okay. Yes, yes, yes. Now it connects. Yes. Okay. Now I connect. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else have a question on that one that I can muddle through? Okay.
I don't have a question, but I remember that particular illustration he gave of hydrogen and oxygen being the separate constituents. If that's, anyway. Not that that matters. But together they are the oxygen and water. That make up everything. And then the carbon. You know, so when we're everything, we disintegrate.
Huh?
Back. Huh?
When we're everything, we disintegrate? What does that mean?
Well, we're back into, you know, in other words, we lose ourselves. That's the soup.
Oh, you're talking about oneness or unity. Okay. But that's not
or
what,
the
but that's
or
not
the
what this non-coalesced. Is talking about.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking about here.
Okay. Never mind.
We're really talking about emergent here.
I know. It's a lost point. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Okay, so we're moving on to 59. I think it's my turn, is it not? You read that one, right, Karen? As we said before, in the beginning, a long, long time ago, you existed only as a condition, a state we can refer to today as a condition of godness, because as a condition, you were all-knowing and fully aware. You were everywhere present and timeless. You were unrestricted in creative power and insight. You had unlimited authority and influence in the infinite condition. And you were all-powerful in your own realm. But one important thing you did not have was an identity. You were not particularly and individually anything. You were unknown and unknowable. You had nothing to be or express, nothing you could declare to be. Nothing you could declare to be, you could... Nothing you could not be experienced, nothing that could not be experienced or realized, I guess is what I'll have to...
No, you could not be experienced or realized.
Okay, you could... Not. Okay. Actually, you had everything. You were everything. Yet you had no way of realizing yourself or clearly expressing yourself from this state of allness. You existed, but you were not alive as any significant thing. So you had it all, but you had nothing.
That's the condition of all.
You had a pot of soup.
Move along?
I guess so.
No.
If you understand your beginning allness and your struggle in the universe to become something, you must realize that in becoming something, you lost or sacrificed your allness and have been searching to regain or use these qualities and awarenesses for yourself again. Must you be the one or the other? Spiritual teachings say yes. It's one or the other forever. So you better make the right choice. While the universe declares, I will give you access to all knowing and to being fully aware through entanglement, and in that enable you to be everywhere present anywhere you desire, through emergence and your becausing, I will grant you unlimited authority and influence so you can be all-powerful in your own realm, such that you will be unlimited in creative power and insight, and right. As every moment supplants every preceding moment, you shall be timeless, and this shall be yours forever and ever, eternally. I want to say amen. Oh boy. Is that ever a huge declaration of the promise?
Yep. Anybody else have anything to say on that one?
Mm-mm. It's very clear.
Okay, Sharon.
Your life today is about embodying and manifesting your original, infinitely vague condition of Godness as a particular and personal embodiment of this condition, beginning with the concept of yourself.
Okay, that's pretty succinct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Simone.
62. Through emergence and entanglement, you can take tremendous leaps in your life as you desire. Life does not have to be a slow learning, growing, developing process of causing in a field of judgments at all. The qualities you select and actually live, whether desirable or undesirable, good or evil, will not continue with you, for fuller emergent qualities exist in the whole, but are not in the constituents. In this, the grace of emergence cleans you of faults.
Oh, that's nice.
And grants you a new self and life. No repentance.
No,
and the next one?
Yeah.
Repentance.
Yep.
Repentance.
Confession or heartfelt sorrow is required, and neither is acknowledging responsibility, making amends, or promising to forsake such actions in the future. There is no karma or carry over to new self and life. But of course, through memory and teaching of condition, you can certainly repeat.
Contrition.
Pardon?
Contrition.
Contrition.
Contrition. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You can certainly repeat or recreate those old matters in your new self and life, if that's what you want. But that's actually an act of violence against yourself.
Boy, oh boy.
What means contrition?
Making yourself less than.
Are you Miss Simone, I've never asked you, were you raised in a Catholic or Anglican church?
Protestant.
Protestant, and so the contrition is making a deliberate feeling of being sorry.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
But you must be sorry in the right way, because somebody will judge whether or not it was sorrow in the right way. You must show your remorse properly.
Right. Can't be done casually.
Okay, I guess we're coming around again.
Yeah.
63. At each step of your life, from concept to illuminated being, your emergent characteristics and attributes expanded until there was an ever-excelling impurity between the constituent and each emergent. Actually, since none of the characteristics and attributes of the emergent existed in the constituents, each emergent liberated you from the slavery and judgments of previous concepts and actions, released you from blame and criticism and from further obligations, reclaimed and renewed you, and affirmed your merit and significance. You were genuinely being set free, being fully supported, and even more, and being unconditionally and lovingly offered guidance and expansion through the normal and natural actions of the universe. What does it mean, an ever-excelling impurity between the constituents and each emergent?
The ever-excelling difference between the constituent and each emergent.
Yeah, because it's talking about the difference between the constituents and the emergent, about the characteristics of the constituents, and then the extreme difference that an emergent can be.
He's saying that as time goes by, that as a step from concept to illuminated being, that the difference continues to be more clear between the constituents and each emergent.
I think that is what he's saying, yes.
Can you say that again, Patrick?
That is saying that he's saying at each step along the way from concept to illuminated being, the difference between the constituent and each emergent gets more and more evident. It's getting clearer and clearer, the difference between the constituents and emergent, such that we truly have life anew. The emergents are so different from the constituents that it's truly life anew.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sixty-four. If you have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the willingness to understand, through emergent and entanglements, the universe reveals the profound freedom you have regarding the meaning, creation, wisdom, and ultimate destiny of yourself and life, and that portrays the authority of man.
There's lots, another one of those lots that tangled it were all tied up in a relatively short fashion. So isn't this saying that the profound freedom that we have regarding meaning, creation, wisdom, and ultimate destiny, there is no meaning out there, or creation out there, or wisdom out there, or a destiny in our lives, that all are the authors of that for each of us.
And that is our authority.
Yeah. Gosh, I was talking to some folks on the weekend about how there is no right trail or path that we have to look for. That every time we put our feet down, we've created a stepping stone as we move along. And it was like startling to see somebody's response to that. That's, what do you mean? What do you mean? Just make it up? Yeah.
That's a hard concept for some.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Patrick, you're on.
65, though you probably don't realize it and wouldn't believe it or live it if you did, since every aspect of the universe is emergent and every ensuing moment the preceding moment, you are offered an emergent new life, self and life in every moment. And where you have constantly indicated you are forgiven, and where we have constantly indicated that you are forgiven by the grace of emergence, that is not exactly true, for only someone who has judged you would ever forgive you. But who judged you is not worthy of forgiving you. Through emergence, which is always offered and never withheld, the universe forgives you in advance by never judging you.
That's a cool statement, huh?
Yeah.
That's almost a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only have to forgive if you judge ahead. Yeah. Is that not one of the sayings? I think I have that one on my website somewhere.
No. Okay, Sharon.
If you understand what has been described, okay, and portrayed, then you must realize that this communioning emergent process is available at every moment of your life, beginning with the concept you have of yourself and life today. However, if your beginning concept or beginning story includes causing or a creator in any form or any order to judgment, you will have these matters to contend with, life taking full advantage of the universe's offering of emergent entanglement in every moment, which enables you to be other and greater than anything you put into your constituent self and life.
Thank you. So maybe we go over the stories again and look if there is any tendency to judge in there.
To judge or to have authority outside yourself.
Yeah. Mm.
I think that each person should be able to do that on their own, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't mean in the group. Yeah. Can I go on?
Yes, please.
67. Do you see in all of this how the universe always and unconditionally supports the authority of you?
Mm-hmm.
And unconditionally supports you in every aspect of emergently forming and living yourself in life without interfering or imposing intentions on you? This is the natural apodictic way of the universe. But more than just supporting you, the universe prepared the way for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Very nice.
I've never run across that word, apodictic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roger liked words like that.
What does it mean?
The normal course of way, the way that things fall into place.
I suspected that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, Karen. Coming around to you, and just know that there's going to be a correction as you read here.
Every struggle to cause outcomes, either by you
or either by you or the
by you or the universe, and everything you impose upon you from causing, continues unrelentingly with you, and the emergent expansion and forgiveness of the emergent universe is forsaken. Does it seem wise to continue in these ways, especially since you are not even a causer and never have been a causer? You are a be-causer. In the illustration of water being the emergent of your uniting hydrogen and oxygen, you are the reason or basis and motive behind water and its properties emergently appearing. But you didn't cause these things. You prepared conditions and let emergent do the rest. This is becausing, being the reason.
Yep. I like that image.
Hey, Missy.
Hey, Patrick.
I was leaning ahead a little bit.
Get the phone closer.
Oh,
reading ahead a little bit, and given the time, might this be a natural place to, because he's talking, wanting to go into a more thoughtful and expansive look at emergent.
Okay. Why don't we call it there and pick up again at 68, since that's where it seems to be heading that way.